Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Romans chapter 3, where we find our text. Romans chapter 3, we'll also be looking in the back of our Psalter hymnals, looking at Belgic Confession, Article 22, in just a few moments. First, let's read from Romans chapter 3, where we find our text. Romans 3, verse 21 is where we're starting our reading. You see the subtitle here is A Righteousness of God Through Faith. And it's that through faith aspect that we're going to be looking at today. So Romans 3 is found on page 1118 in our Black Pew Bibles. Romans 3, starting at verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So it's that justification are being made righteous with God through faith in Christ that is our focus. Then if you wanted to turn with me in the back of your songbooks to Belgic Confession Article 22. Belgic Confession Article 22, and that is found on page 862 in the back of our Red Trinity songbooks. Belgic Confession Article 22. Just by way of reminder, last time we looked at 21, which is the atonement, how we are paid for by the perfect priest Jesus Christ in the order of Melchizedek. This week is the righteousness of faith, and 23 is on justification. So 22 is really focusing on what is faith. So Article 22, Belgic Confession, Article 22, the righteousness of faith. We believe that for us to acquire the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Spirit kindles in our hearts a true faith that embraces Jesus Christ with all his merits and makes him its own and no longer looks for anything apart from him. For it must necessarily follow that either all that is required for our salvation is not in Christ, or if all is in him, then he who has Christ by faith has his salvation entirely. Therefore, to say that Christ is not enough, but that something else is needed as well, is the most enormous blasphemy against God. For it would then follow that Jesus Christ is only half a Savior. And therefore, we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone or by faith apart from works. However, we do not mean, properly speaking, that it is faith itself that justifies us, for faith is only the instrument by which we embrace Christ, our righteousness. But Jesus Christ is our righteousness, crediting to us all his merits and all the holy works he has done for us and in our place. And faith is the instrument that keeps us in communion with him and with all his benefits. When those benefits are made ours, they are more than enough to absolve us of all our sins. And that's as far as reading in the Belgic Confession. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you believe? I ask a similar question every time we come to the Apostles' Creed, asking you as a church, what do you believe? And we all confess together by saying, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and I believe in God the Holy Spirit. We could say the Apostles' Creed is the summary of the Christian faith, but it's not just something that the church believes. It must be something that you believe, that you have a belief in this particular God. So when you are asked the question, what do you believe? You might have a particular answer, but there are many other answers that could be found in our world today. Many people would ask, or would answer that question, what do you believe? They would respond by saying, well, we believe in ourselves. Believe in yourself. That is what the self-help guru will tell us, the power of positive thinking. This past week when I was doing some research, I came across a website that gives you 13 of the most powerful things to believe. I'm just going to list three of them. Listen to these three powerful statements concerning things you must believe. Number one, believe in yourself that you are capable of achieving anything you want. Believe in yourself. Number two, believe that you are in control of your life and your destiny. Number three, believe that to change your life, you must change yourself. To change your life for the better, look inwardly and change yourself. So which is it? Do we place our faith, our hope, our trust, our reliance on someone else, looking to someone to save us? Or is the source of our salvation, is the source of our hope, the source of our comfort, the source of change, something that we find within ourselves? Do we look to ourselves? Is true faith something that we place in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or is power of faith found in positive thinking? Well, I submit to you today that the Bible clearly states that we who trust in ourselves are trusting in that which cannot help. That if you look to man or the help of man, you will find yourself sorely disappointed. There is only one person in whom we can trust, one being from which all help and power for real change can be found, and that is found in Jesus Christ. So as we continue our series through the Belgic Confession, we're going to be considering Article 22, what is faith? Where does faith come from? And what does true faith look like? So true faith is the doctrine under consideration today. And we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us that true faith is from God and looks to God for salvation. It's very important that we see this connection. True faith is not only from God, but true faith looks to God for salvation. In a first point, then, we consider the positive, what true faith is. What is a positive definition for true faith? Well, you might remember in the Catechism, true faith is not only a knowledge and conviction, is a deep-seated assurance created in me that not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven and been made forever right with God. Hebrews 11 puts it like this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we know the truth. By faith, we come to see the truth and to rely on Him who is the truth. Traditionally speaking, we can identify three parts of faith. Faith, true faith, is a knowledge, it is an assent, and it is a trust. There is a knowledge component to true faith. We have to know something that is true, the content of God's word. But not only do we have to know something, we have to be assured that what we believe is true and is applied to me personally. We're certain that these things are accurate, yes, that they're a historical reality, but also that this historical reality has a present and personal application. So to be clear, true faith is a personal living faith. True faith is personal on two levels. First, true faith is personal because it is something that is found in your heart. True faith is not something that is out there. True faith is something that is found in here. So when we confess the Apostles' Creed, we do not say the church believes in God the Father or believers trust in Jesus Christ. We are saying, I believe in God. True faith is a personal declaration. I believe this is true and it applies to me. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, says, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven and been made forever right with God. So true faith is a personal conviction and belief. So that's the first aspect of personal faith. The second aspect of personal faith is that personal faith is not only something which resides in you, it is also directed to a specific person. True faith is a union with a specific personal being. So the direction of true faith looks outside of itself and looks specifically to Jesus Christ. As we saw in our new members course this morning, the five pillars of the Reformation, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So true faith looks to Christ, clings to Christ, and believes in him. We find this in our scripture reading, Romans 3, verse 25. We receive redemption that is in Jesus Christ by faith. So we receive of Christ, we are joined to Christ, and this redemption takes place by faith. Belgic Confession, Article 21, when we looked at the atonement last week. How is it that the works of Jesus Christ, as that perfect prophet in the order of Melchizedek, how is it that his work becomes my work? What vehicle or mechanism is it by which that which Christ has done outside of me comes to have an impact upon me? True faith. True faith is that which brings union between Christ and his people. So true faith is a personal, concrete faith. It is not abstract. It's not theoretical. It is a certain specific person believing certain specific things about a certain specific person. That God's people believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and embraces that specific Christ with a heart of faith. A personal relationship is being established by faith. So those who have faith state, I believe in Jesus Christ, who is my Savior and Lord. So if true faith is a personal faith and that it comes from your heart and it unites a specific person to Jesus Christ, a personal being, where does this faith come from? If faith is necessary, where is its origin? Well, our article before us makes it clear that true faith is something that God produces in our heart by the Holy Spirit. The origin of true faith is that it is something that God does. Our Romans 10 says that by faith we hear and we receive Jesus Christ. Faith comes by the hearing of the gospel. So it is through the preaching of the word that the Holy Spirit uses that preaching to produce faith in our hearts. So the origin of true faith is that the Holy Spirit kindles. The word in our article says this, kindles. He starts a fire in our hearts. That fire of faith is produced within us by the Holy Spirit. But not only is God the origin, the one who produces faith, God is also the object of our faith. Faith is not only something that God produces in us, the direction of that faith is decidedly towards the one who produces that faith, in that faith is a work of God in us, causing us to turn to God and to trust in him and look to him alone. So when we think about our faith, we have to remember that a true faith is a gracious gift. It is something that God stirs in our hearts, something that God produces within us. And since faith is a gift, it cannot be earned and does not merit anything in and of itself. Faith produced in us is a work not of our hand, but it is something that our gracious God does for us. Romans 3, verse 28 says, we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. So apart from works of the law, here Paul is making it clear that faith is not something that man can do. Faith is not something, a work that we can stir ourselves up to. It's not something we can perform with our own hand. It is something that God graciously and sovereignly does for us and does within us. There is a contrast in these verses from Romans 3, a contrast between the gracious gift of faith and man's meritorial work or something that which he might perform by his own hand. Man cannot and never will come to saving faith in and of himself. Again, Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourself, not of your own doing, it is a gift. So faith is a gracious gift that God gives to us and a gracious work of the Holy Spirit as he kindles and produces that faith within us. Ephesians 2 also says that we are saved by grace through faith. So what is this through aspect? Well, when we say we are saved by grace through faith, we are pointing to the fact that faith is an instrument. Faith is the instrument that God uses to join us to Christ. Faith is the way in which we are grafted into Christ, in which we can partake of him and his blessings. Article 22 puts it like this: faith is the instrument that keeps us in communion with Christ and with all his benefits. Now, to illustrate what faith is and what faith is like, we have often said, to illustrate this, faith is like the open hand that receives what Christ gives, or faith is the hand that clings to Christ, that holds onto Christ. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are saying faith is the mouth by which we eat the body of Jesus Christ. Faith is the conduit. He's the tube by which Christ and his blessings flow to us. Faith is the establishment of a relationship where Christ becomes ours and his blessings are transferred to us. So by grace, by faith, we are grafted into Christ so that the life-giving sap of Christ might flow within us. But what then are the benefits that we receive once we are joined to Christ by faith? Well, being united to Christ by faith means that Christ and all his benefits and blessings are delivered unto us. Romans 3:22, as we read earlier, we have a righteousness of God through faith. In other words, justification and life are the benefits and blessings that we receive when we are joined to Christ by faith. Everything that Christ has secured for us, every work that he has performed for us, is ours when we are joined to him by faith. We could put it this way: faith is the mechanism that makes us the body of Christ, that joins us to Christ, our head, so that everything Christ has done becomes ours as we become his. Belgian Confession 22 says, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. God credits to us all his mercy and his holy work for us. So the benefit of faith is that Christ's merit and work become ours. So we can rightly say, by faith, we are joined to Christ and we receive all of his blessings. Faith is the means by which these blessings become ours, and it is the way in which we learn to look to him and trust to him. So what is faith then? Faith is to know, it is to embrace, it is to appropriate and to seek Jesus Christ and cling to him. What does faith do? It embraces, it clings, it weds us to Christ. It is the conduit by which Christ's blessings and works flow to us. It is the way in which we are joined to Christ and he to us. Well, now that we understand what faith is, we move on to what faith is not. To start off, faith is not a work of man's hand, and faith does not have a worthiness in and of itself. Faith is not a merit that earns our salvation. Now, Paul makes this point very clearly. When we talk about our faith, we are not talking about credit and due. For example, tomorrow morning when you go to work and you sign in, you punch the clock, you have every expectation that if you work for your boss for this amount of hours, you're going to be paid for this amount of work. It is your due. It is what you expect. You go to work, you have a contract, you do the task, you get the reward. However, some people wrongly view faith as if it is our work, as if we, by faith, we are earning something from God. If you believe in God, God will reward you with eternal life as your earned payment. But our faith, to be clear, our faith is not the grounds of our salvation. Our faith is the instrument that unites us to Christ. Belgian Confession, Article 22, says it like this: we do not mean that faith is faith itself that justifies us. Paul says this in Romans 4, verse 4. If belief was a work, then our wages would be our due and would no longer be a gift. In other words, if faith is our meritorious work of our hand, we would be earning our salvation by the work of faith. Eternal life would be our payment, which we would deserve. Lord's Day 23 puts it like this: it is not the worthiness of our faith, but only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness that secures our salvation. So then, faith is not a work that we can stand before God and say, look what I have done, look what I have performed, you need to save me because I did the work of believing in you. We cannot take credit for faith because it is a gift. As Christians, we can sometimes wrongly be proud of ourselves because we believe. We might think that we are better than other people who are not believers because we have chosen to believe. But we must remember that our salvation is not a work of our hands, and we do not deserve God's grace, nor can we take credit for the gift of our faith. So faith is not a work of our hand, nor is it a merit that deserves or earns God's grace. Thomas Aquinas, that well-known Roman theologian, taught that faith makes God a debtor to us. This is what Aquinas wrote: saints merit God's promise by believing. Therefore, to believe is meritorious. That was Thomas Aquinas, Roman Catholic theologian. Opposed to the teaching of Aquinas, we see that the merit and power of faith is not found in faith itself. That's what our article is making clear. The merit and power of faith is not found in faith itself. The grounds for our salvation is not found in the worthiness of our faith. Because what is faith? Faith is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to us, produces in our heart. And what does faith do? Faith looks away from itself and looks to Christ. It is not the strength of our faith that saves us. Rather, it is the strength of our Savior. Now, this, brothers and sisters, is really good news for you if you are struggling with doubt or struggling with fear or temptation. It is not the strength of your faith that saves you. It is the strength of your Savior that saves you. We are all in danger of falling back into this meritorious frame of mind. If I would simply believe a little more, that's what the prosperity gospel teaches. If I believe a little bit more, if I pray just a little bit harder, then I would get that which I desire. If God doesn't give me what I'm asking for, then I must not be believing hard enough. Our faith only does us good because our faith is joining us to Christ. You see, some people are confused when they look at faith, viewing it as if it were a merit or a work, something that earns us. But Paul very clearly contrasts faith and works in our text. Romans 3, verse 24, we are justified by his grace as a gift. Romans 3, 28, we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. That is why we say that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. True faith never produces a human pride or self-reliance. False faith is a belief in yourself or your own ability. Even if you call that ability faith, it is not true faith because it is looking to itself. Going back to our introduction, self-help is really no help at all. You and I and no man can do what is necessary. We cannot stir ourselves up to have a stronger, greater, better faith. If I can help myself, then I don't really need God, and I can boast in my own ability. As you see, true faith and pride, self-reliance, cannot dwell in the same heart. The greater, the better understanding there is of what true faith is, where faith comes from, kindled in my heart by the Holy Spirit. What faith does, clings to Christ, runs to Christ, relies on Christ. The better we understand that, the humbler our hearts will become, and the greater glory God will receive. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. What do you have that you have not received? If then you have received it, why do you boast as if it has not been given to you? So since faith is a gift of God and turns us to God, the very nature of true faith proves our inability. So faith is a complete trust and reliance on someone else. True faith kills human pride. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. To those self-help gurus, we would say, why would you believe in yourself? Rather, believe in God, because he alone is the one that can help. With man, salvation is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. If our salvation was our due, something that we earned or that we worked up the desire to do, then we could have the credit for our salvation. But rather, we are saved in spite of ourselves. Therefore, God gets all the glory, and he alone gets the praise. Faith simply receives what God graciously gives. But faith is also, as a gift, it is something that God sovereignly and powerfully produces within us. It is not something that we can accept or reject at our own pleasure. Jesus Christ's death on the cross did not make us savable. Jesus Christ's death on the cross did not make salvation theoretical, but rather secures for us the complete forgiveness of all our sins. That's why we don't speak as if God is waiting for us to accept the invitation. Rather, because faith is a sovereign gift kindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, created in us by the preaching of the Word through the Spirit's work, salvation remains a work of God from beginning to end, and it is a complete work of God. When God chooses us, he who began that good work in us will be faithful to complete it. He will produce the necessary faith, enabling us to embrace Jesus Christ. It really is that simple. As our article says, either Christ is not the complete Savior and we need to add something to Christ, or he is the complete sufficient Savior and we have in him everything we need. Salvation by grace through faith is not a potential salvation, but it is a full and complete salvation. So salvation is a work of our sovereign God. He does within our hearts. But it must also be said that true faith is not a faith that is void of meaning. Perhaps you've heard people talk about faith as if it is a blind leap of faith, as if faith is walking to the edge of a canyon, a dark cliff before you, and faith is just stepping out into the void and hoping for the best. True faith is not a blind leap, nor do we put our faith in our faith. So we refuse to accept the definition of faith that fails to link the content of faith to the one who is the faithful one. Faith is not just believing whatever you want to believe or believing anything. Faith is not naked of content or just hoping that everything will work out. Rather, true faith believes clear and certain promises revealed in the Word about a specific person and his sufficiency. So the content of our faith is rooted in what Christ has done and revealed. So our faith has to be faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in our faith or faith in that which is unknowable, but rather faith in the God who has revealed himself in his word. To conclude, understanding the place and purpose of true faith helps us see the strength and glory of faith as well. It is not the strength of our faith that saves us, but rather the strength of our Savior, whom we embrace by faith. As our theme states, Jesus Christ teaches us that true faith is from God and looks to God for our salvation. In this, God remains just and the justifier of sinners. Faith in Jesus Christ solves the dilemma, how can sinners be saved? It's when we're joined to Christ by faith. That's how we, as sinners, can be saved. His death becomes ours, his righteousness credited to our account. By faith, we partake of Christ and all his benefits. So faith is not only what you believe, it is about the one in whom you believe. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of faith that you have produced in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you are faithful, and you will do what you have said. You will keep your word. We do pray that your Spirit would indeed produce faith in our hearts as we hear about Jesus Christ, as we read his word, that we would embrace it as true and believe it as such, knowing that you are faithful and you will do it. We do pray that you'd remove any doubt or fear, that we would acknowledge that it is not the stability of our own power that has secured our salvation. It's not even the strength of our faith that saves us, but rather it is the strength of our faithful Savior upon whom we look and depend with a heart of faith. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.